This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. It's a desire, mostly on the left, to tax unrealized capital gains. That's taxing increases in your stock portfolio with some big revenue projections attached. But the numbers underlying those projections, according to economic historian Phil Magnus, the math just doesn't work. We spoke last month in Dallas.
There is a push that continues to this day, and I feel like it started before the pandemic, or at least has been a predominantly of the left view that Americans, by not taxing the unrealized gains that people have in their stock portfolios, that is to say, not really income because it's not cash, and the value of those investments can go up or down on any given day, but they nonetheless believe that by taxing the unrealized gains on assets, illiquid assets, that America would be so much better off and would be able to pay for so much more. You say that the numbers that are generated by some theoretical tax are just kind of nonsense.
Basically. And what happened here is in 2019, the New York Times was working with this economist by the name of Gabriel Zucman. He's associated Thomas Piketty. And they ran the story and they claimed that billionaires, the wealthiest Americans, are paying a lower tax rate than you and I, than average people.
Okay. So this is where we get the claim that Warren Buffett pays less in taxes. They say the word less in taxes. But what they mean is a lower rate,
right,
of taxes. It's not less in taxes. I'm confident that Warren Buffett pays more in taxes than I do, but a lower rate than his secretary.
Yeah. And the White House is, the Biden White House in particular, has really jumped on this as its basis for justifying this call for what they describe as the billionaire tax, a minimum tax of 25%. And what Biden says is, according to these studies, a typical billionaire only pays about 8% in tax rates at the federal level.
And so they are including
unrealized capital gains.
Okay. So one, there are some practical problems with that.
Exactly.
One of those practical problems is that I'm not going to get a rebate when my portfolio goes
right
down.
Your unrealized capital losses, it doesn't work the other way in their whole scheme. And you know, the other thing you think about, some of these people that they envision, imagine Mark Zuckerberg. So most of his wealth is in Facebook stock. If he announced tomorrow, I'm going to liquidate my Facebook stock, what would that do to the stock price of Facebook? It would obliterate it. It would send all sorts of signals through the market, send chaos in there. So you couldn't even perform the calculation necessary to get an accurate representation of his wealth.
Right. Because we're talking about essentially a compelled sale, perhaps.
Compelled sale, basically.
In order to pay the tax bill. So what are some other elements of trying to get at that number of the benefits to taxpayers, which is really the benefits to the government of taxing unrealized gains?
Right. Well, it's basically a revenue grab. And Biden has all of these, if you have underlying assumptions, you assume that the rich are not paying taxes on these unrealized gains. You assume fixed numbers that come out of various estimates that the White House has put out. Then he'll claim, oh, well, you can get X number of trillion dollars to offset deficits. So they view it as a very static version of the world. But what's really going on here is they are trying to tax something that isn't truly income. If we go back to the 16th Amendment, passed in 1913, it permits Congress to tax income, but income has to be realized. And this has been the subsequent Supreme Court definition. It actually has to be earned. It's money that arrives in your account as a paycheck. If you start taxing unrealized capital gains, it's a very different definition of income than what exists under the law. And there's really no practical way to reliably get it year after year.
I have heard, and what was the, if we liquidated the wealth of the wealthiest people
of the
in the country,
yeah,
that it would extend the ability of the federal government to pay its bills for a few weeks?
Yeah, it depends on the estimate. I've heard a few weeks to a few months. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket on a spending problem.
What's the takeaway from this then? I mean, it seems like, hey, don't tax unrealized gains, but it seems like the other side is this isn't actually going to produce the revenues that you think it will.
Yeah, I think it is actually just a backdoor way to justify tax hikes. It's basically something that that side of the political spectrum has wanted, but they've lost on the traditional fiscal arguments. They've invented a new way to justify taxes. Say, we're not doing this because strictly we need revenue, although they'd like that. They're saying inequality is a problem, and the rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer, and this is supposedly the proof of it.
And the weird claims that I hear, both left and right, they are coming for your 401k.
Right.
Wow, kind of makes me think that might be true.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a money grab for the federal government. And, you know, you add on to this, there's some really shady mathematical approaches that they do to get this 8% number that Biden keeps quoting. If you go to the Congressional Budget Office and look at the actual numbers that come out of the IRS on income tax payments, the wealthiest 0.01%, so you're talking the rich of the rich, pay about 30 to 31% average federal tax rate. And this has been known for years. The tax system at the federal level is extremely progressive. It's structured that way intentionally. But they're basically trying to say, no, it's not. We have this other way of calculating it by including things as income that aren't truly income under the law. And we manipulate the numbers and they overlay it with really what's just guesstimation. So they draw very heavily in the Forbes 400 list, which is kind of like the celebrity thing. It's a status thing. If you are wealthy, you can try and show off your assets by getting on the Forbes 400 list. But they say that that's a statistical basis that they can do these calculations on. So the White House's numbers, they will get changed year over year in the Forbes 400 list. If you moved up or down on that, that's supposedly your unrealized capital gains.
Right. And to your point about the Forbes 400 list, it's my understanding that at least one former president has attempted to be on that list and perhaps not quite with legitimate numbers to back it up.
That's exactly it. There's actually a literature on this, and it's referred to as the Donald Trump problem. If you go back a couple decades ago when Donald Trump was being this celebrity billionaire asset holder real estate developer in New York City, he wanted for status reasons to show himself at or near the top of the Forbes 400 list. He wanted to basically ostentatiously display his wealth. So what does he do when they send out surveys and ask people that are on the list, like, well, what are your assets this year? He does what he appears to be doing everywhere else, sends them a letter that vastly exaggerates and overstates the value of his assets because it gets a much higher spot on the list.
It seems like bad numbers all the way down.
Absolutely. And it's even worse than that. So the IRS, about 10 years ago, they did a study of deceased people that were on the Forbes 400 list, and they compared their probate records, their estate valuations after they died, and they found the Forbes 400 list consistently overstates the value of their net worth. So all this money that's supposedly there to be taxed that Biden says, it's up for grabs, it doesn't really exist.
What does this tell us about inequality of wealth in the U.S.?
Well, inequality, if you look at it over time in the United States, it does fluctuate. It was a bit higher in the early 20th century. It dropped down in the middle of the century, and it's rebounded a little bit since then, but we're well within historical norms. There's a narrative coming from the left side of the economics profession, though. This is the Piketty and company crowd that says that inequality is skyrocketing. It's shooting off to the moon, basically, and we're headed for Gilded Age 2.0. The problem is they're very selective in their statistics, and you look at almost every other measure, it's the Piketty version is the most exaggerated representation of inequality. Others show reasonable fluctuations. There's actually a recent study they show if you start bringing in things like welfare transfers, social security payments, it offsets the supposed rise in inequality that has occurred over the past couple of decades. So really, we find a pretty stable norm over history. But for political reasons, you have certain academics and politicians in the White House included, and Elizabeth Warren included, that are seizing on bad statistics to exaggerate the numbers to make the case for more taxes.
Phil Magnus is a senior fellow at the Independent Institute. We spoke last month in Dallas. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily podcast wherever you please. And thank you for listening.